welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And we have another, I hope, very interesting show dealing with spirituality and metaphysics. Tonight I thought we'd talk about spiritual information on bird flu and the ramifications of worldwide catastrophes in general. So I thought that that would be an interesting subject, partly because, but not entirely, a product that I helped to design and make, etc., called ViroPel, sponsored a show last week on bird flu on the Science Channel. And there's been some questions about that show and other things, and so I decided that I better talk a little bit about that. And thought I'd bring in the whole idea of worldwide catastrophes as well, because people often ask, well, how come this is happening, and is it going to get worse, and whatever. So I thought we would go into that. Now, also, if you would like to call in while I'm on the air here, 877-876-5227 in the U.S., and 888-815-9756 if you're calling from Canada. Now, let me tell you this. The question of bird flu, which is on some people's minds because they did run the special, and it's just been in the news. There's been more, unfortunately, more deaths, and recently more human-to-human infection. Now, that doesn't mean it's a pandemic yet, but it does mean that there are one or two genes away from possibly getting to become one, so that's a danger. What is the spiritual information on bird flu, though? Well, generally speaking, if we're looking at what is a very serious kind of flu, it tends to involve itself with what is known as the throat chakra energy, sometimes referred to as third ray energy. Now, what does that mean? It means energy that deals with things like oxygen as an element and some other elements as well, and nitrogen, by the way. Also, it has to do with in the general construct of spirituality, a focus on the part of us that communicates and that builds our society and develops civilization overall. So this is a big deal. And it's even a bigger one right now because this particular energy, there's seven kinds of energy that are focused on our planet. If you've been listening in for the number of weeks I've been on, you probably have some idea about this. But for our new listeners, it's okay. And these seven kinds of energy are focused on our planet four out of seven at a time. And the other three are not focused. Now, when an energy is focused on the planet, our senses are keener that energy comes into and develops through our chakra. And generally speaking, the organs that support that sense are also stronger, and they are more capable of dealing with some problems that may happen from us retaining the energy within us. The good news is that third ray energy has been focused on our planet for like 650 years. The bad news is the focus is about to end, and it's slowing down, but still growing, until about the fall of 2012. You may have heard that date a lot. And I don't know if it is associated to the Mayan calendar or any of that other stuff, but my knowledge about this is based upon these ray energies. And from 2012 until 2025, we're going to see this energy wane. It's literally going to become out of focus in another energy, which is the fourth ray type of energy, which deals with the sacral center at the base of your spine, is going to increase. And our sense of inner realities, and our sense of beauty, and our sense of trying to understand spiritual versus material issues and balance them better in our lives will increase. But our ability to grow our society and communicate when we're being selfish will decrease. Now, you notice I said when we're being selfish. You see, if we're not selfish, it doesn't really matter what's focused or not focused. We'll do fine. That's like living as a soul. But when we live more as most humans do, pretty selfish or self-focused, we retain a lot of these energies inside our chakras, inside our senses, that means, and inside our bodies in general, and this causes a lot of problems. Now, when you retain an energy, it's food for pathogens, for the bugs that make us sick. And one of those bugs is avian flu. Now, there's several different varieties of avian flu that have afflicted our planet, and one of them came by in 1918, but now there's a new variety, sometimes referred to as H5N1. It has to do with the two molecules that compose it. And the interesting thing about it is that those molecules make this particular flu a very dangerous one in its own right, because it's been growing from the increasing ray energy of the third ray. It's highly, highly third ray affected. All the avian flus appear to be very, very third ray affected. Flus like to move through air, and they tend to get us ill through the air. Now, you can also get it through other ways. You can rub your eyes and get it into your tears and that sort of stuff. But generally, we get it through the air. And air, unfortunately, is a third-ray element. So they tend to like to move around in that. And they also like to be involved with the organs that are associated with the throat chakra. Guess what those are? Well, they are everything from our sinuses down to the base of our lungs. And even our skin has some effect, because the skin is also involved in the third-ray. So interestingly, this bird flu is like an expert on how to infect and how to grow inside of us, and it can do some very, very terrible things when it does this. It does it because at the present time, no, we'll say, worse flu could be developed because of all this third-ray energy that is in abundance but is slowing up. Now, the slowing up part is our problem, because we then collect a lot of the retained energy that the flu likes to live on. Yep, it feeds on its energy in an etheric or electromagnetic sense, because all life has to have chi or electromagnetic energy flowing through it besides the physical side that we are so familiar with. There's the biology or physical side, and then there's this amazing electromagnetic part, which is really the basis of life itself. But most biologists don't know about this, or they don't believe in it. And the interesting thing about it is that the bird flu, or avian flu, is probably better at using the electromagnetic parts of this energy and using it to grow and to develop and to evolve. It's better than maybe any other flu that has existed, and the H5N1 version of it may be better than all prior ones as well. That's kind of scary. Now, what does this bird flu do? And there were some discrepancies, or we'll say ambiguities, in last week's program that was on the Science Channel, in my opinion. Now, of course, the when they make a movie for television or whatever, they are making a movie to give general information, but it isn't necessarily to inform people completely. And there was a movie about a year ago called Fatal Contact on ABC that I thought was a little bit more accurate, actually. I don't know that it was better produced or any of that stuff, but it was a little bit more accurate. The most dangerous part of the avian flu is about a day or two after you come down with the symptoms. People who have strong immunity systems can develop what is called the cytokine immune storm syndrome. What the heck is that? Well, their organelles, these little parts of white blood cells, can produce too much of something called cytokines that are really meant to create like an inflammatory response in invading pathogens and to make them get sick and not be able to infect cells. That sounds like a good thing, right? Well, the problem is that if we produce too much of the cytokines, our own white blood cells start attacking our cells, and the cytokines irritate us. So an overabundance of these things, you know, too much can be a bad thing instead of a good thing. And so we have a problem with the cytokines if they are overstimulated. And guess what? When we kill off, now this is my theory, when we kill off avian flu virus, it sends a little message in its chemistry as it dies in our own system to excite the organelles of these white blood cells to produce too much cytokines. Smart bug, smart flu bug. Because while it is, you know, the viruses that are dying aren't necessarily saved, their death causes us to toxify ourselves and to start killing ourselves. Now, what happens if you get this cytokine immune storm syndrome? Well, if you're young and you're healthy, you're more likely to get it than if you're old and your immune system isn't very strong. And what happens is, in less than 24 hours for some people, but certainly within 2 days, people usually die from it. In many cases, it can be as little as 6 to 12 hours. A person can literally die by bleeding to death from attacking their own bodies and causing tremendous inflammation at the same time. That is a terrible outcome if you think about it. And that's what makes this particular flu so dangerous, is that people die before they even have a chance to really fight the flu very effectively. Fighting a flu takes time. It usually takes 4 or 5 days to make the right antibodies. Before you have the antibodies, you only have white blood cells and certain other kind of defenses, but they're not very effective. You really need those antibodies, but unfortunately, your body has to figure out what kind of antibody to make against each new kind of pathogen. So for the people who get the cytokine immune storm syndrome, they never get the chance to make any antibodies because they're dead in 3 days before their body can make antibodies to protect them. And you can see that this is a very dangerous symptom. Now, I'll tell you, last week's show was not particularly informative about what I would just describe to you. It gave the impression that this cytokine storm was probably taking many days, if not weeks, and other things about it that were incorrect. And it's unfortunately a lot faster and a lot scarier than actually they showed. Now, that could be because they didn't want to shock the audience too much, maybe not create any kind of incite a riot problem. And so they played it down. I guess that's okay, except that what it doesn't do is it doesn't give people enough urgency to look for something to deal with this particular problem. I'm going to throw in a little kind of commercial, sort of, and tell you that Viropel, which is what we were one of the sponsors for the show, Viropel, in my opinion, can significantly reduce, if not stop, a cytokine immune storm problem. Now, that's my opinion. If this was a real advertisement, I couldn't say that, because we only have some, we'll say, indications. We can't say for sure that it really does this, because it would have to be tested, unfortunately, on people that have bird flu. And guess what? Those people, luckily, at the present time, are in short supply. But I will tell you that on regular flus, it tremendously cuts down inflammation. And it does, and when I say regular, I'm still talking about A-type or very serious kinds of flus, but not avian flu. And it does so with other kinds of illnesses as well. And it should, because it was designed to do that. It has 13 what are called immune modulators within it that are designed specifically to try to do this. And one of them is patented and has been proven to do it and has even been investigated and approved by the FDA. Not as a drug, although, well, I shouldn't say that. You could buy it as a drug, but in Viropel, it is sold legally as a dietary supplement. And its patent allows that. It's one of the rare kinds of substances that could be used as either a drug or a supplement, and depending upon how and in what way you are formulating it. It's really amazing that you can do that with this stuff. So the good news is there is something available that can deal with the most dangerous thing. And this thing is so fast because the third ray, unfortunately, has speed behind it. It's extremely quick in the way that it comes on. And anything that is extremely, to the extreme, third ray, will tend to be very fast, just as bird flu is in infecting you and, unfortunately, in potentially causing fatality. This is scary, guys. I know. Now, when I come back, I want to talk to you about some of the other spiritual ideas or thoughts I have about bird flu and other kinds of diseases like that, and the ramifications of worldwide catastrophes in general, in a spiritual sense. I hope this won't be too much of a downer today. I want to look at it from a more positive angle and give some solutions, as well as talk about the more negative things that obviously can affect us. So we will be back in about 2.5 minutes or so.
Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
The following statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. ViroPel is a dietary supplement. It is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Colds and flu are a problem that many want answers and alternatives for. Let me tell you about ViroPel, a certified all-organic herbal and nutraceutical formula designed to support relief from symptoms of cold and flu. With so much concern about potential bird flu outbreaks, there may be some help. ViroPel's patents include proven immune enhancement, adding significant preventative and other immune system benefits. In effectiveness trials, most experienced relief from symptoms in 2 to 3 days. Think about how long your last flu symptoms lasted. Incredible and amazing are the words most often used to describe the effects of ViroPel. Using 136 of the highest grade ingredients in a new science gives ViroPel its effectiveness. Relief could be just 1 to 3 days away. To learn more or to purchase ViroPel, call Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. That's 800-777-7850. Or visit ViroPel, that's ViruPel.org.
Well, we're back, and this is Why Life Is. I am your host, Niles McFlower, and today we are talking about spiritual information on bird flu and also the ramifications of worldwide catastrophes. Now, I want to cover a little bit more about how come bird flu is maybe something that is connected to a worldwide catastrophe, because it is a high potential becoming a pandemic, and what is the spiritual meaning of that? Well, it comes to pass that one, when either the first, the second, or the third type or ray of energy is going out, it tends to have a relatively big impact on all of the world. And the third ray probably has the biggest. So, unfortunately, it's going out. And it's going out right as we speak. It takes about 25 years, and it started going out in the spring of 2000. And so, we will see it going out still past 2012, but it will peak at its absolute maximum level, even though it's growing slower and slower every day, but it's still growing, and at the fall of 2012. And then it will wane. It will start to actually go down for the first time in 650 years. That's a long time. And so when you see this sort of thing taking place, what happens is all of society is adversely affected by whatever selfishness exists in it at that time. And the most selfish people are actually affected the worst, but they also cause a lot of havoc in society. They become more militant. They tend to be less communicative in any meaningful sense. And the product of their, we'll say the product of their life usually becomes chaotic and destructive. well. Those are not good things. And that's part of what we're facing when we deal with something like avian flu. It is, the flu itself represents sort of like a pressure valve for all of this negativity to come out. And it will affect, tends to affect, those who are less conscious more than those who are more conscious. Conscious, and in place of the word consciousness, if you prefer, we could use the word loving. Yeah, if you would like that word better. But at any rate, it creates this general system where those who are the more selfish tend to be more affected by the ravages of the catastrophe, in this case avian flu, but we'll talk more about other catastrophes as well. And so you see a drop, unfortunately, sometimes in the number of people who are alive. You see more and more people suffering from illnesses and disasters in various levels. And it is a relatively nasty time to be living because things are very tough. Now, I'm going to tell you that Earth itself has got this third-rate thing all over it because it's really designed to function with this being its ray of focus. So there's never really been a great time that the Earth hasn't suffered tremendous catastrophes and many other problems. But we may see unusual, quirky catastrophes and problems occur now. One of them could be the avian flu. It is unusual also that we, being a race of people who are so technologically advanced and so developed in our communications and other industries that have built up our civilization, that this particular time may unfortunately cause a lot of that to be disturbed in some serious ways. Now, I don't know what those ways are. Don't say, oh, well, soothsayer, tell me what's going to happen. I don't know. I'm just talking about this in a conceptual way, not in a way that I can say, well, on such and such a day, this is what's going to happen. But I think it's important to realize that we are going to be facing some real trials and tribulations, and some of us may succumb to them. There may actually be a drop in world population. I know it's been growing. I mean, we got, what, 6.7 billion people in the world? But we actually could see that decline because despite the fact that the population has been growing and may grow again until 2012 or so, right after that, we could see some really serious declines from all kinds of issues, not the least of which could be global warming. That's right. We've got that on the back burner, or front, maybe front burner at this point, and heating up the planet. So we have issues, and we have to take account for them in trying to do something that is more virtuous. We have to create goodness in our lives and try to help others to do the same. We need to make the world really a better place more quickly than maybe at any time in the past. I realize this sounds like some kind of scary disaster film or something, but it isn't meant to be. I'm just giving you some spiritual ideas about how come things may be the way they are going to turn out to be. We'll see. And I am not sitting here hoping that for some main reason that I need to be right, that this will all come true. Just the opposite. These are things that I am hoping that I will be very, very wrong about. But nonetheless, erring on the part of caution may be helpful. For those of you who want to prepare for avian flu, I would suggest maybe picking up a bottle of that ViroPill stuff. I have used it. I've seen many other people use it, and it does work on everything I've seen so far. Does it work on bird flu? Well, that's to be seen. But it has worked on other kinds of flus amazingly well. The main thing here is that there really isn't anything other than it that does do the job effectively. You've heard of Tamiflu, of course. You've heard about other antiviral drugs. But they don't seem to work very well on avian flu, and actually they excite, in some cases, the immune storm syndrome, cytokine immune storm syndrome, actually can accelerate death in people between the ages of 13 and 45. At least they found this out in Vietnam, 45 cases all of them got Tamiflu, and all of them had bad outcomes. They all died. Okay, so we need to be concerned about the fact that we preparing means also to be thinking ahead and making some choices that make sense, that could make a difference so that you can survive. And that's why conscious people tend to live in these crises, because they prepare, they plan. That's part of consciousness. Whereas the people who have less consciousness tend not to, and they say, oh, who cares, I live for today, tomorrow, who knows. And, of course, tomorrow comes, and they're not prepared, and some terribly awful things can take place then. So that's the spiritual concept behind that. What other ramifications for worldwide catastrophes are there in the scenario that we've been talking about so far about bird flu? And let me tell you this. One of the issues we're dealing with is atmosphere, because the atmosphere is mostly third ray in this world, yeah. And unfortunately, we're messing with the atmosphere. Now, you know that. We are putting out all kinds of stuff into the atmosphere that is causing us to heat up. The glaciers that tend to mitigate heat and tend to keep the oceans from getting too filled, and also that support a thing called the conveyor system in the oceans, are melting. They're melting away, and they're not just melting on some high mountains, they're melting everywhere. And we've got some real serious issues, because they're melting a lot faster and at an accelerated rate that no one has predicted in the past up to today. I mean, all the prior predictions have all been too slow compared to what is being seen taking place. That's a real dangerous situation, because the ubiquitousness, that means it's everywhere, of our atmosphere is such that it truly is a global catastrophe we're looking at in terms of global warming and other issues associated with it. So, including the oceans rising, not just 17 inches in a century, which is what a lot of people are saying, but possibly 17 inches per year, or some really ridiculous number that nobody could ever live around. So it's really a dangerous thing that we're playing with. And because it is a third-ray thing, we don't sense it very good, because our senses are starting to get stale and not work very good, and particularly among selfish people. So they're saying global warming isn't even happening. It's just some kind of cycle we're in, even though for the last 700,000 years they've never found such a cycle, which they have looked. And it's happening so quickly, and it's getting so bad, but yet it's just some kind of cycle, and it'll all change around. Well, you know what? Those people may need to learn how to breathe underwater very quickly. The thing is that, and worse than that, they may also have to be concerned about having enough food to eat and all kinds of other factors that may come about through global warming. We have got to be much more concerned right now about making the changes that are necessary on a global basis. Now, it's one thing to buy a bottle of Viropel or more and be prepared for bird flu. You'll save yourself, maybe your family. That's a great thing. I'm not telling you not to do that, but it doesn't save the world. Not necessarily. And there still could be a pandemic that a billion people could die in. But, of course, you would survive. But more likely, at least, that you would survive. So the real problem with global warming is that the things that need to be done for everybody's sake and not for any individual necessarily selfish, self-focused more reason. And that's what makes it more difficult to deal with, because people can understand things that affect themselves directly. But how do you convince people that the oceans may rise suddenly and we could have terrible droughts and not enough food, and then maybe, even weird as this may sound, in another 10 years, maybe the whole Earth will go into an ice age, because actually global warming can lead to a global freeze. You know, the problem with that is, for most people, they just don't have it in them to be able to say, well, I'm going to change my life these 20 different ways or 50 different ways so that it will have a beneficial effect on global warming, when even that small, very small effect isn't going to change the global warming, because everyone else has to do it as well. for a lot of people, they say, well, what can I really do? Well, you see, you got to take responsibility, and you got to do it in this bigger way, like as a soul thing instead of a human, that if you don't do it, others may not, and then the whole thing isn't going to work. So everybody's got to jump in, even though on a very small scale looking at themselves, it doesn't seem like they're doing all that much. But if everyone were to really start conserving energy, if everyone would start using technologies that produce less and less greenhouse gases, and if everyone would support agencies, groups, etc., that are trying to do all this as well, we could see a tremendous change in a very short time. There are solutions. It's just a matter of people choosing in a very short time to become involved in carrying out those solutions. And this is a spiritual problem. And it has to do with that fourth ray that's coming in right now. Most people, I talk a lot about the third ray, but the fourth ray is this business about being able to see the forest through the trees, being able to understand that taking these choices, which are seemingly minuscule in the world of billions of people, can make a difference and is extremely important to do, because if you don't do it, others won't do it, and then it won't get done. And the United States, by the way, for those of you who are listening in the U.S., has the greatest responsibility because we have the greatest capability to make change. We're consuming about 25% of the world's energy. Okay, so if we made a difference, it would make a huge difference in the world. And the United States, even though we're not well-liked these days, is still a leading country. And truly, if we choose to make a change on a national scale, it would definitely affect the whole world. Now, so we can make a difference best by doing it ourselves, and then we can affect the rest of the world to some amount. These are important issues. We are on the edge. We are. Those of you who don't think we are, and I have someone I talk to once a week or so, and he was telling me he didn't believe us. He said, no, I don't think global warming is really happening. I said, okay. and I said, but did you watch Al Gore's movie, An Inconvenient Truth? Yeah, I watched it. Interesting movie, but I still don't buy it. Well, you know, the interesting thing about this is that that's that sense thing again, see? You know, and I happen to know this particular person. He doesn't have some of his senses working up to full standard. And so the interesting thing is here that if we can't sense around us what's really going on, that puts us in a very dangerous position, both on a personal scale of survival and in terms of being able to make a change or a difference in the world. Sense is critical to becoming more conscious. If you can't sense, how are you going to be conscious about anything? Not very well. That's right. Okay, so when we're looking at this whole factor of change, we have to start becoming more introspective and try to balance out our material side more with our spiritual side, because that's that fourth ray issue that is going to be pushing on us more and more as time goes by. It's going to be replacing the concept of materiality and having a lot of things and technology being the solution for everything. It's actually going to change that around quite a bit. So we're going to talk more about that when we come back. I want you to think about, and if you want to call in, certainly do so, and we can talk more about it. And I'll be back in 2.5 to about 3 minutes.
What book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hon, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower, M-A-C-F-L-O-U-E-R.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Let me tell you about most supplements that help support joint health, movement, and ease. They usually contain a few helpful substances that work on some people moderately well. For many others, these levels of help are either not enough or are not helpful at all. But there is a product that contains 36 different high-potency and very effective ingredients that support overall joint health, movement, and ease when moving. It's Freedom of Movement by Alternative Health Approaches, and it works in many different ways. This formula is critically balanced to synergistically and dramatically improve joint movement through supportive health, and usually within several hours. The relief generally lasts for an entire day and over time can be permanent. Freedom of Movement comes with a money-back guarantee. Even shipping is refunded for the first bottle. This unique formulation has helped thousands to maintain joint health. The price is $24.95 for a 90-caplet bottle. It's available from Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. Give this powerful all-natural supplement a try if you haven't found relief from other sources. That's Freedom of Movement. Call 800-777-7850.
We're back. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And today we're going over spiritual inflammation on the avian flu and ramifications of worldwide catastrophes as they are related to spiritual things. Now, we're talking about fourth-ray energy and how it's coming in stronger, meaning that we're getting a better sense of our inner spiritual development and how that's affecting our life and whether we're being too material in the way that we look at our life, and whether we're living for the right reasons, which might include trying to create more of our Creator inside of ourselves and inside of us. Creating more of our Creator means to create more light and virtue, to do things that help to make everyone else a better person while they are doing the same. And so it's a great thing to have more sense of that, to know whether or not you are doing that, whether we are doing that, and whether we can do more of it. And the fourth ray will help us to do that. It also helps us to define beauty. Now, what is beauty? I like this definition. Ready for it? Beauty is the ability to create something in form that has an effect spiritually on people by improving their senses by just experiencing whatever it is. That's what beauty is. The more beauty exists, the more it has a spiritual sense, a spiritual effect on our senses, and causes us to be able to improve our sense of it and everything else. Wow. So things that are beautiful improve our senses, which is great. Things that are not beautiful, but some people may think they are, don't do that. They do not improve our senses, and they may actually cause some destruction to our senses. So I guess there's such a thing as ugliness. But beauty is really critical, and knowing when something is beautiful and how to create more of it in ourselves and others is a really important thing. And the fourth ray is the premier ray that allows us to be able to do that. And that ray is coming into focus, meaning our sacral centers, which gives us a sense of balance and beauty and spirituality, is going to really get stronger. It's already been getting stronger for the last 7.5 years, but only in a minuscule way, and not enough for most people to notice. When will you notice it? Probably after the year 2012. Yeah. because it'll be more than half in its journey towards full focus in development on our planet, meaning that all creatures that have a fourth ray center or chakra will be improved just by the nature of having that chakra. And it will be easier for the chakras to work that are along the fourth ray. So it's a good thing that it's happening, while at least the third ray, which is going up, is maybe causing problems. The people who become inner reflective during these crises, during the worldwide catastrophes, will have the easiest time in dealing with those catastrophes and the aftermath. Those that do not become inner reflective and become more materialistic or more fearful or both and react in material ways, they find that that creates a real havoc for them. So it's really kind of a choice. We all have that choice. And the choice is, well, do we actually decide upon a path that allows us to become more spiritual and balanced in our life and allows us to discover and create more beauty around us? Or do we take a path that provides destruction of our civilization and our sense of it, inability to communicate properly, and in the long run, potentially a global catastrophe of such terrible consequences that as much as two-thirds, three-fourths, or maybe the whole population of the planet are no longer able to sustain life in this dimension. Now, that doesn't mean when you die from here, you don't die. You go on and live in another dimension, time and space. But still, I mean, you can't create more of your creator in the most difficult place to do that, which is the physical. We came here because this is the toughest place to start. And we don't live here very long. We live much longer in terms of years to us in other dimensions of time and space where time is dilated. And so for every year you live here, you may live 20, 30 or more years in these other places. But the point is that you lost the opportunity to create the light here that needs so badly to be created where it's so difficult. And that's what we don't want to lose. We want to stay on top of things. We want to be able to create a better world now while we have the opportunity to do so and we're physically alive. Once you die, you don't have senses anymore of the energies that exist in this realm. So your senses, your focus of your senses, the consciousness focus, goes to the next body called the astral body, and then you live through the astral energies, which are actually like emotional kind of energies. That's fine. You have a body, and you live in another world that's not too different from here. The physics are a bit different, but they're not, it's still, you would recognize it. But the problem is you can't change things here because you don't have a body and senses to do that. Oh, you can try using a little bit of extrasensory perception and maybe through a psychic here make some slight contact with someone. But that isn't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the ability to really do something. Because this is an action universe, and if we can't take action, then where are we? Well, not in this universe, actually. And so you got to be able to do something, and that's what we came here for. So the ability to do something in a spiritual way is improved through focusing on the fourth ray. And the best way, and this is going to sound very strange now, the best way I have come up with to recommend that people deal with worldwide catastrophes is to put yourself into the various likely catastrophes that you may experience and see how you personally would respond to that, and then what can you do to help others, even if you're not going to ever experience it? Let's say you don't live next to a volcano, but there's going to be an eruption. Well, you can work with others who might be experiencing that and give them your wisdom and understanding by having meditated about it and educated yourself about it. You see, this is a process in which we have to start seeing ourselves as much more one rather than separative. If you function separatively, the chances of personal survival go down, and the chances of worldwide survival go down. So we need to have this greater approach, you might say. Now, it sounds a little morose to say, well, you want us to sit around and think about catastrophes? Well, not all the time, but it's worthwhile to spend some time on it because, after all, it isn't going to go away if you don't think about it. And there are ways to mitigate and maybe completely abate these possibilities from taking place. We have that opportunity. We really do. At least now. 10 years from now, maybe not. So now is the time. And I don't know how to make this any more emphatic. Now is the time to make these changes. And it starts with some inner reflection in your own life. Look at the areas where you're most selfish. Look at the areas where you're functioning with too much, we'll say, materiality. And how is it that you're going to change this level of materiality to a better balance? I don't want you to stop being material completely. I don't want you all to throw out your clothes and everything else and just walk around, you know, with little push carts in the street or something. No, I'm not asking you to even come close to doing that because that wouldn't be balanced at all. Just the opposite. The real question is, do you need a new car, and of what kind, and what are the parameters under which you might purchase one, and do you need as much money as you're using to have a technologically advanced and material life, or should you be using some of these funds to create things that are more spiritual in general in the world and to conserve energy and to help others to do the same, while you're also becoming more aware and more understanding, both more conscious and aware, of the problems that are likely to cause worldwide catastrophes. I only brought up one so far, by the way, which was global warming. I don't know if you're aware of this, but there are actually many of them. And the global warming may be the single worst thing we're facing, but there could be others. And certainly an avian flu epidemic, particularly if it became pandemic, could knock off over 1 billion people. That's a huge change. It would literally stop the development of civilization completely. And in some cases, we could be going back to living like we did several hundred years ago. Let me give you an example so you understand what I mean by that. If there were a pandemic, there may not be enough people to keep the Internet running. Well, how many people use the Internet these days? And what if we don't have it? Think about that. What if all kinds of computer systems fail all over the place because there aren't enough people to make them work? Well, computers are behind most of the things that we use on a daily basis these days. That could be a very big change. It can get a lot worse than that, though. You could have a situation where the technological part of our society literally crumbles due to very few people being able to either get to work or willing to go to work or being alive even. And the process can literally come to a virtual halt so that we have to find all the old ways we used to live, and we're not prepared for that anymore. Some of us aren't, anyway. And so the interesting thing is that this could have a tremendously negative effect on the survival of everybody. Now, that's just an example. The good news is that we have a little bit of time. For avian flu, we probably have a year, two probably at the most, before there will be a serious outbreak or maybe a pandemic. For global warming, we have maybe 5 years. I know that sounds very short. And a lot of people say, well, it's 50 or it's 100. Yeah, if you want to believe them. Now, I'm telling you that in 5 years, we may be in such a pickle, if we don't change our ways, that it will take another 10 years by the five-year point to change, and we won't have those 10 years. Sea levels will rise feet, many feet. Temperatures will rise to the point where people who live on the edges of deserts will become desert and they won't be able to feed themselves. Wars will break out because there won't be enough food and other problems. We could have terrible consequences that we are capable of changing right now, but we may find ourselves incapable in the future. So, Yes, the more we look for the spiritual answers in our life, the more we balance ourselves to the material factors that are out of kilter. Most of us are not aware of how, we'll say, selfishly we are living at the present time. How many of you listening to the show have changed all the light bulbs in your home? Or nearly all. I'm not talking about one 25-watt bulb someplace. I'm talking about nearly all the light bulbs to either fluorescent or better diode lights. All of them. Have you done that? That's a simple thing. That makes a difference. That makes a significant difference because everybody comes in your house knows about it. But besides that, it changes your whole attitude and thought process about energy and how to expend it. How many of you have doubled the energy values of your walls, your windows, your ceiling in your house? It can be fairly expensive, but there are cheaper ways to do it. But how many of you even consider doing it? How many of you consider doing it to a 50% level? Those things really matter. They make a big difference. Those are relatively simple things. They may cost some money, but then again, the money spent on the material side of life, when you need to have a more spiritual focus on things, can be very, very harmful to your overall survival and that of the world. And you might say, well, what else can I do? Well, there's so many things. I can't really name them all on a show like this. It would be a litany of hours and hours. But there are websites you can go to. And eventually you'll be able to come to our website. Don't have enough information up about this. But we being the spiritual group I'm a member of, actually live the things I'm telling you. We live in an extremely efficient, in extremely efficient houses. We tend to use less energy than most other people. And we also have an experimental farm where we're trying to change the effects of global warming. Amazing. Yeah, honestly, I'm telling you the truth. Call us, email us, let us know if you'd like to help. Hey, we need it. We certainly do, honestly. And we're interested in all kinds of ways of co-serving with everybody who wants to do something to make a change that would affect worldwide catastrophes. And what about things like, well, the terrible things like sudden earthquakes, etc.? Those are actually caused by energy buildup in our planet. Again, caused by selfishness of humanity. It sounds hard to believe because you can say, well, how could we control the planet by what we do in ourselves? But actually, it does have an effect through the etheric or electromagnetic spheres of energy. It's something to think about. Anyway, I'm just about out of time here, so I wanted to let you all know that, let me see what I'm going to let you all know about, that on Sunday, October 14th, I'm going to have a show over on WDISAM.com, also WDIS Radio AM, if you're in the Boston area, on spiritual leadership. So listen, that's this coming Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. Pacific time, and if you're in a different time zone, let me know. And you can figure it out from that as well. Monday, October 15th. Which is the next day. I'm going to be talking over Borders Mesa Fiesta, developing a strategy to save our planet, which includes the Internet country of good, which we're going to be talking more about on this show. And that's from 7 to 8:15 over Mesa Borders, if you are in the metropolitan Phoenix area. And I hope that you could attend if you can come this coming Monday. At any rate, I hope today's show has given you some thought, given you some ideas to think about. Certainly, if you would like to get some ViroPel, you can go to ViroPel.com and buy some, or you can go to ViroPel.org and just read about it. Just look at the statistics, look at the studies, the effectiveness trials, and I think you'll be impressed with what it does, because it does some amazing things. So if you are interested in that, please do. And until we meet again, I hope that we have covered this subject enough so that most of you will make some changes. Make some changes in your style of living. Look for the more spiritual reasons for being alive. And you'll find that worldwide catastrophes, as they may come about, will have less impact on you on a personal scale, but more importantly, are likely to be diminished by everyone doing something that they can do to make a change. Think about that, consider it, and until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.